16. And if the Lord would be pleased to help us, we may consider the sixth verse, Psalm 116, and at verse 6. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Well, the description of the simple you find in two different ways in the scriptures. And the first is in the sense of the foolish. We read of those who are described in the book of Proverbs in that way more than once, where we read that in chapter 1 of Proverbs, for example, at verse 4, that the intention is to give subtlety to the simple, those who lack wisdom are described as simple, and that description you find again and again in the book of Proverbs. You read of the young man who was seen, a simple one, who went on in the way of sin. The simple, we are told, inherit folly, and so on. So that the simple refers to man as foolish, and sinners are addressed in that way. That is what you are by nature, spiritually. Though you might be wise in the things of this world, yet the Bible tells you that because you are blind spiritually, you have lost all spiritual wisdom. And it is to sinners such as you are that the gospel comes, as we have it again in Proverbs chapter 8 and at verse 4, where we read, "And to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be ye of an understanding heart." But then the description of a people as simple has another sense also, a good sense. And it is a sense which is much the same as to say the meek. And the idea seems to be taken from little children who we know are simple. And the rule of Scripture is this: except you become as little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so that all who are brought into the kingdom of heaven, all who will be in heaven, therefore, at last, were brought to become simple, to become like little children, meek and lowly. And that is a great change upon man, for man is proud by nature and thinks much of his own ideas and his own wisdom, and is not willing to learn, not willing to be instructed, but God is able to change our hearts and to make us to be what is here described as a people who are the simple ones, sincere, meek and lowly, humble, dependent, poor and needy. And David, the king of Israel, is describing himself as one who has a hope that he is off that number. Although though he was a great warrior, strong in battle, and though he had much wisdom given to him as a king to rule and to conduct the affairs of a kingdom in times of great opposition and so on, yet David does not view himself as in any way different in the spiritual sense from the rest of the people of God. He says that he is among the simple himself, and taking it to be his honor that he is of that number. Now, what the Bible here is telling you about those who have become like little children is that they are preserved. The Lord preserveth the simple. They have need of preserving. They have need of keeping. They need to be kept from the devil, who goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. They need to be kept from the sinfulness that is abiding yet in their own heart, although renewed. And they have need to be kept from the temptations that they meet with in the world around. And David had learned by experience that the Lord preserveth the simple. And then he goes on to say, as one, as I have said, who numbers himself among the simple, he says, I was brought low, and he helped me. And it is especially these words that we wish to consider. Here is how the Lord preserveth the simple, both sides. Both sides are needed, and the Lord uses both. I was brought low. That is a way that the Lord uses to preserve the simple. And he helped me. That is also a way that the Lord uses to help to preserve those that are simple. The Lord preserveth the simple, and here is the way that he does it. I was brought low, and he helped me. And without giving out heads in advance, we may consider some of the ways in which the simple are brought low, and some of the ways in which they are then helped. I was brought low. Well, it is true, though it is not so much what our text is speaking about, that man brought himself low. The Bible everywhere declares that to you, such as, for example, what you read in Hosea, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thy help. Man brought himself morally low, spiritually low to the dust of death, and judicially, man is destined to be in the lowest hell, so that as we are by nature in an estate of sin and misery, we brought ourselves low. God made man upright, but we by our own sin have brought ourselves low. But although that is true, yet you do not hear man by nature saying, I was brought low, for as we already mentioned, man by nature is far from being lowly and thinking little of himself. Pride is natural to our fallen hearts, so that we think well of ourselves, and that is part of the tragedy and the guilt of our fallen race, that though we are low indeed, yet we will not acknowledge it. We will not acknowledge that we have no righteousness of our own. We will not acknowledge that we are weak, dependent creatures under the wrath. wrath and the curse of God. Even our own nation, we could say at this time, is very far in our rulers, in the media, and in the commonality of the people from understanding this. Though we are being brought low, the virus is bringing us low, economically, socially, in many different ways. Many are being laid low in ill health, and thousands this year in death. Yet do we find any in our nation speaking in a public way who are saying, we are brought low? No, they are seeking still by their own, as they say themselves, by their own determination, by their own ingenuity. They think that they will overcome, deliver the nation. Whereas the course of wisdom would be to acknowledge what is true here. I was brought low. And that is true of us all individually. We are proud by nature. We do not like to think that we are low, lower than others. No, we like to think that we are higher than others. But this is true of us all, that we are low, degraded, low, fallen low, in a low state. The church was saying, in our low state, who on us thought, for mercy hath he ever. She knew then something of her low estate. But that is the point, that it requires the Lord to bring us low before ever he comes to give us the help which we need. We need help as those who are low. But before the Lord will give that help, it is his normal way to begin by bringing us low. And that was what the psalmist here knew something about. I was brought low. And that is how the Lord works at the beginning, in a sinner's spiritual experience, when a sinner will be brought to a place where he will in due time be able to say, the Lord help me. Before you can say that, the Lord help me. Wonderful words indeed. Come over into Macedonia and help us. There was the cry of some who must have been beginning to have some understanding of this. I was brought low. Wonderful to be able to say, as the apostle did, I obtained help of God. But first, before we can say that, the Lord's normal way is to bring us to say this. I was brought low, and I know it. It was such a reality to me that this was my confession. I was brought low. And that in the sense of bringing us to an understanding and a sense of our lowness and a feeling of our lowness is God's power. I was brought low. Yes, I brought myself low. But here the emphasis rather seems to be on the work of God himself in bringing a sinner to a sense of his low condition in any state of sin and misery. I was brought low. That's how the Lord begins. The Lord intends, it is true, to raise up the objects of his eternal love. He will raise them very high. He will raise them high. They will come to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They will come to have grace here. They will come to have glory hereafter. They will be raised to an exceeding height of glory. How high they will be, who can tell? But this is where he begins with them. He brings them low. And he does so because in the scheme of redemption, God will have all the glory. Man low, God high. That is how it must be. We must all learn something of what John the Baptist had learned. He must increase, but I must decrease. I must be brought low, because we are told sinner to a sense of sin and misery, that the sinner comes to be able to begin to say in some measure, I was brought low. Now with some, it might be that it is the sense of misery which comes before the sense of sin, because these two are distinct, although connected. I was brought low. We could look at it like this. I was brought low in a sense of misery. Who could we bring in the Bible as an example of one who was brought low primarily in a sense of his misery? Well, could we not bring in Manasseh, a king himself, one who ruled like a cruel tyrant, who obviously had great power and wealth and who abused it? And we read of him being taken captive. In his providence, God began to bring him low. He was taken away from his throne. He was taken away from his palace. He was taken away from his own nation, carried away captive, and in affliction, in prison, in bonds, in a dark prison, no doubt, Manasseh began to be brought low. God brought him low, and he began to feel something, we believe, of the misery of having sinned against God. And that is sometimes how God deals with a sinner at the very beginning. He might begin in providence. He might begin to affect their health, for example, or to affect even their mental health in that way that they begin to feel sorrow. They begin to realize that they're in a miserable condition. They're being brought low. They're being brought to see that the world is not going to give them all the happiness and all the satisfaction that the devil and the world promise. I was brought low, brought down to sorrow of heart, brought down to as just a sense of this, that I'm in a miserable condition, away from God, though there might not yet be anything very deep in it. They're beginning to say, I was brought low. And when a sense of sin additionally comes, or comes in its own, that too, and that especially, is what brings a sinner low. Affliction will not do it itself. Many are brought low in that way. But they're not crying. I was brought low. It's not blessed. Bereavement perhaps brought you low, but it did not make you feel that you were low. It did not bring you to an end of looking to the world for your happiness. It was intended perhaps to do that. And there needs to be this through the word. Through the word. Thine arrows sharply pierce the hearts of the enemies of the king, and under thy subjection the people down do bring. Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. There it is. Come down. Come down from your pride. Come down from high views of your own righteousness, your own works, your own goodness. Man thinks that all is well with himself. Man thinks, you think by nature, that you're just as good as others, not as bad as many, and that therefore is sufficient. You have a high opinion of yourself with regard to your moral standing. But you were never brought low. I was brought low, David said, when a sense of my sinfulness began to be made known to me. A conviction of sin will begin to bring a sinner low. And David had something of that. When it joined with that was this realization that as a sinner, I am in danger not only of all the miseries of this life, but death itself. After death, the judgment, and the pains of hell forever. And that's what David had in his experience earlier on in the psalm. He spoke about a time. saying, "The sorrows of death compass me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. I was brought low then, when I saw that I was a perishing sinner. Whatever degree of terror accompanies a law work, there is this realization that you are lost." Mr. McLean Glasgow used to say, if you, in a sense, really, there are no degrees of conviction of sin. If you're convinced about something, you're convinced. The least degree of conviction is a high degree in this sense. You're convinced. If you're convinced, you're either convinced or you're not. But if you're convinced of sin and misery, then that is what matters. There is a variety in experience surrounding that, bound up with a sense, perhaps as some have, of great fears of hell. That's not essential to conviction of sin. What's essential is this, that you know that you are a sinner, that you know that you are lost, and you do not doubt that. That is made a reality to you, and that in that you are being brought low. I was brought low. But then the sinner in that condition will begin usually to try themselves to work out a righteousness of their own, to try to reform their lives, to throw overboard what is sinful, to attend to the duties of religion, which is all very well and good, but the danger is that the sinner in their ignorance is looking to that as what will earn the favor of God and earn the pardon of God. But there, to experience this, "I was brought low, lower still. Make haste and come down, Zacchaeus. Come down lower. Come down to understand this, that you have a total depravity, and that all that proceeds from your heart is uncleanness in the eyes of God. And come down to this. You cannot make yourself holy. And the Lord, in bringing a sinner low, in that early work, may permit at times in his providence their sin to overcome them. They're wrestling against sin. You're seeking to get over, to be rid of sin. But you're discovering this. I was brought low again and again. The enemy is too strong for you. Sin is too powerful. You cannot make yourself holy. However, for a while, you think you might succeed. Sin overcomes you again, so that you are like that man of whom it is said that while he was coming to Christ, the devil cast him down and tear him. I was brought low. Even in this, when I began to have a desire to come to Christ, you cannot save yourself by the law. That's humbling for a proud man to learn. You cannot earn the favor of God by your efforts. You cannot bribe. You cannot earn and pay your own way. You must be brought low to be a beggar. How low the beggar is who comes to beg among men, who would knock at the door and plead for food or money. How low they have been brought naturally. But proud man must be brought low before he will ever be a beggar at the throne of grace, where we must all come. With our late friend, Mr. Ian MacLeod, our elder, used to say, we're allowed to beg. We may come as beggars, but before a beggar will beg, this must be his language. I was brought low. I saw I had nothing. I had no merit. I saw I had no righteousness. Yes, but moreover, not only that, I have no strength to overcome sin, no strength to think a good thought. But come lower still. I was brought low in this way. I came to see. Not only could I not obey the law to earn God's favor, I that we have in us by nature. We'll come to see this, that we would realize that the way of salvation is through faith in Christ. The experience of many was that they were made conscious of this. I cannot believe. I've mentioned to you before that that's what Dr. John Duncan referred to famously as the gospel vice. Two sides to a vice. If an object is to be caught in the vice, there's only one side. The object cannot be caught. Two sides of the gospel vice are, I must believe, the mask of the sinner's responsibility. The other side of the vice is the can't of the sinner's inability. If there's only one side, the sinner is not caught. If what you have is the mask of your responsibility, but it is not made known to you the cant of your inability, then the danger is that the sinner thinks in their own power they can exercise some form of natural faith, like a mere assent of their intellect, and they think that that is salvation. They were never caught in the gospel vice, never truly closed into Christ, never truly brought low. Whereas, on the other side, you might be saying, well, I understand that side of the vice, the cant of my inability. I accept that doctrine. But I can do nothing. I cannot repent. I cannot believe. But if you don't have the other side of the vice, the mask of your responsibility, then you are not caught either, and you are not closed into Christ, because you make a pillow of your inability. You say, I can't believe, therefore I will do nothing. Whereas when God is bringing a sinner low, I was brought low, that sinner will come to know something of this. I must believe. I can't. The mask of my responsibility, there is my duty. That's why I'm seeking earnestly. That's why I'm searching for Christ. That's why I'm longing to be able to find Him. That's why I'm searching the Scriptures, reading religious books. That's why I'm praying. That's why I go to communion seasons when I can. Why I attend the preaching of the Word. I must believe. That is impressed upon me. Ah, but I'm learning this. I can't. Oh, how poor man is. He cannot rescue himself. He cannot rescue himself by the law. He cannot rescue himself by the gospel either. But if you learn these things, if so, you could join with David. You could sit down with David. You could say, David, I'll join you. You said I was brought low, and I will dare to say it was true of myself also. I was brought low, emptied of my own righteousness, emptied of my own wisdom, emptied of my own self-reliance. What a great work to bend the proud heart of man to come to this when they had nothing to pay. And frankly, forgave them both. I was brought low. The soul that is brought unto me, you who are brought low, and I will give you rest. Do not rest in any sense of having been brought low. You must be able to go on to say, He did me help afar. He helped me. And that is what we referred to already about the cry that was coming up from Macedonia, a cry that came to Paul by way of a vision by night. A man of Macedonia appeared, and his cry by way of that mysterious vision to Paul was this: come over into Macedonia and help us. Help us, we cannot help ourselves. We are brought so low that unless help will come, we are lost forever. Unless help will come, we'll be low forever. What was the help that they needed? The help that poor sinners need. The help that those need who have been brought low. And that is the help that is in God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. O Israel, I've already quoted that. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. He helped me. Simple words. Three words. He helped me. Me, I who was brought low, I guilty, a guilty sinner, I lying low in the dust and on the dunghill, I unable to save myself. He, who is he? In me is thine help. It is God, the great God of eternity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. That's where the help is. It's in the Trinity. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost each have their own role in the redemption and salvation of a sinner. I was brought low. He helped me. The Father helped me. The Father helped me. The Father drew me. The Son died for me. God laid help upon one that is mighty, one that is mighty to save. When he beheld sinners in their low estate, perishing forever, the Father laid help upon one that is mighty. That is Christ, the Son of God, who is mighty. He laid help upon one that is mighty, one who has all the might of omnipotence and all the resources of divinity. And out of the folk, I raised a chosen one. There is his humanity, God and man. That is where the help is. There would be no help were it not for Christ in his sufferings and death. Christ, coming low himself, brought, as he said, thou hast brought me to the dust of death in the room of sinners, dying the just in the room of the unjust, that he might bring them to God. He helped me. And the Holy Spirit has his role in regenerating the soul. That's where the help touches the soul. The help of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, must come to your poor, perishing soul. Brought low, you are. This is what you need then. You need the Holy Spirit to come to apply redemption to your soul. He helped me. He helped me. The hand of heaven took hold of me and raised me up. From many waters he me drew that would me overflow. He me relieved from my strong foes and such as did me hate, because he saw that they for me too strong were and too great. He helped me. It's in the means of grace that that help comes. The sinner is there, as we said, brought low. Low perhaps for long enough, many a dark day, shut up in darkness, in bondage of soul, cannot get relief, cannot get liberty, cannot get to Christ. He helped me. He'd be helping you along the way, though you didn't know it. He'd help you in this way, by not leaving you to give up, by not leaving you to go back to the world, by not allowing you to give up at the means of grace, though you were finding. I sought him and I found him not. I called him and he gave me no answer. Ah, but he was helping me, though I didn't know it. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. I took Ephraim by the hand, making him to go, though he knew not that I led him. How much of that help that comes in the sinner's early experience comes in a way that is secret. The sinner does not understand what is happening. You're under the means of grace, perhaps, dead for long enough, and then something comes that revives your soul. Ah, the Lord is not allowing you to go back. He's not allowing you to give up. He helps you in that way, like the handfuls of purpose that Boaz was leaving for Ruth, that she gleaned in the field. Boaz was helping Ruth, encouraging her to keep gleaning. The day was on the wing when Boaz would embrace Ruth in a marriage union, when he would cast the skirts of his garments over her. But until then, he would help her in this way, that he would give her handfuls of purpose, encouraging her to keep gleaning. And that's what the Lord does to the soul that is seeking him, brought low, face to face now, that this is their great need, that they must be saved. What must I do to be saved? And you're in the means of grace, seeking salvation. Ah, the Lord is helping you in this way, when he revives your soul, strengthens that desire, strengthens that seeking spirit, that you will not give up. It might vanish away at times like a spark that seems to have extinguished for long enough. But what a wonder if that rekindles. He helped me. In the means, the help comes in the word, in prayer, the word preached, a word spoken in due season. How good a thing it is. Through the word that faith comes. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and unseen. To our eye there is this, the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, not only convicting of sin and misery, but showing the way of salvation, making it known what was hidden before, through the word. Perhaps a little light here, line upon line, precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Darkness being removed, and the way of salvation being made known more and more clearly. Ah, this is taking place. He helped me. But it must come to this, that the mind is enlightened with the knowledge of Christ. A view of Christ as a suitable Savior. A view of Christ as a willing Savior. A view of Christ as an all-sufficient Savior. That's part of the help, the revelation, the illumination, and the understanding. Who can give you that help but God alone? God the Holy Spirit enlightening your mind in the knowledge of Christ. And the help must include this. He renews your will powerfully, renewing your will, so that you are made a new creature in Christ Jesus. It's his work, you see. He helped me. And what flows from that new creation is this. The soul, by faith, embraces Christ. That was what was told to the Philippian jailer. Come over into Macedonia and help us. The Philippian jailer was brought low very suddenly. But it might happen very suddenly. The Lord is sovereign. I was brought low. Where will you be helped, Philippian jailer? Here is the help that you need. I will set before you, says Paul, a crucified Christ. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And you see there what is emphasized is the call of the gospel. The Philippian jailer. That's how the help comes in that way, through the preaching of the word. As Paul was preaching, the Lord was helping. The Lord was helping the Philippian jailer in this way. He enabled him to believe. Faith is his gift. He worked faith in his heart.
needs help. Just as much as the Philippian jailer needs help. Lydia was brought low. Her work seems to be more gradual. How long was she at the means of grace, going out there where prayer was wont to be made? By the river in Philippi, I was brought low. Perhaps many a dark day she had, coming away saying that she had not found Christ. But while Paul was preaching again, we read, the Lord opened her heart. There's the help. He opened her heart and light shone in. He opened her heart. He renewed her will. He made her willing to receive Christ. And Christ came into her soul that day. And that's the help that you need. That's the help that they needed in Philippi. That's the help that you need yourself. And nothing less than that help will do. And only then can you say, I was brought low. He did me help afar. Part of that, getting hold of that help, is this, that you'll be calling on the Lord indeed. You'll be diligent in the means. That's what David had. When he was being brought low, he was not idle. He was caught in the gospel vice, then called up in the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. There's a prayer for you. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. The soul, the language of one brought low and who knows that they cannot save themselves. And God not asking you to save yourself either. God does not ask you to do the work of the mediator. God does not ask you to do the work of the Holy Spirit. You are to cry to him, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. The soul caught in the gospel vice is closed into Christ, as one put it. In the gospel vice you're learning not only your sinfulness and guilt, but your total helplessness. And it's the helpless soul that falls in that way at the feet of Christ. Crying, deliver my soul, O Lord, I do thee humbly pray. That's where the help is, at the feet of Christ. And we can say, in the authority of Scripture, man never came to the feet of Christ for help. He didn't receive it. Lord, help me. With the prayer that one had, Lord, was the side of Phoenician woman. Savior seemed to be closing her away, shutting her away. But that was her prayer. Lord, help me. Did she go away without the help? No. She could say, I was brought low, and he helped me. And we can apply the words of Dr. John Love to our text. He said that no soul at the day of judgment will be able to say to Christ, I asked life of thee, and thou gavest it not. And no soul at the day of judgment will be able to say to Christ, I asked help of thee, and thou gavest it. Lord, he said, heard the voice of my supplications. Well, the soul that is brought to that is helped, is raised up from their low condition, from their estate of sin and misery. Raised up to be among the noble princes of the people of God. Adopted into the family of God, how high their privileges are. Now they will be sanctified, now they will be kept. They have become like little children. I was brought low, like a little child. My soul, the psalmist said, is like
state, they will never sink again into the depths of depravity and the depths of sin and misery in which they were. Yet the way the Lord keeps his people ever after has this in it: he keeps them low. Again and again, they will find this to be true: I was brought low, not just at first. You see, they mount to heaven at times in their experience. The mountain stands strong in their sense at times of the favor and the love of God to their soul. But while they mount to heaven, it is also true that to the depths they do go down again. The psalmist put it elsewhere: Thou, Lord, didst raise me up, and thou didst cast me down again. You see, there is a fluctuating experience in the life of grace. It is like the tide of the sea, which has its height and has its low tides. There is motion. They are not stagnant. As one was saying, it's only the Dead Sea that has no tide. But the Lord has a purpose in the way he brings his people low. He is preserving them. He brings them low. They go very low at times. Their own sin, usually connected with it, though not always so directly. Think of Job. Could Job not say, I was brought low? Brought low in his providence. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his possessions. And then brought low in his health. I was brought low. But then Job came lower still when he had this to say: Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Christ is absent from me. I cannot get near to him. I go forward, but I cannot see him. I cannot find him behind. I cannot find him on the left or on the right. Brought low then. And Job went very low in his spirits at times. So low that he came to this, that he was almost wishing that he would be taken away from the earth. That's how low the Lord can suffer his people to go. I was brought low. But in due time, Job could say with a voice of rejoicing, all the sweeter in its notes for how low he was brought. I was brought low, but he did me help afore. Read of the Lord turning Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends and restoring to him more than he had lost, and no doubt restoring to him his own countenance and favor. Think of Elijah. Elijah was in the top of Carmel, performing a great work one day, standing against the idol worship of Baal, fearless it seemed. And just a day or two later, we find him fleeing for fear from the face of Jezebel. We find him under a juniper tree, casting himself down and asking, in fact, that the Lord would take away his life. I was brought low under the juniper tree of sorrow and depression. There I lay, unable to lift a finger. And that is not only Elijah who knows something of that experience, but the people of God can go low like that. So low that it seems there is no motion of grace in their soul. So low that at times that they can lose the very desires in any lively exercise. So low that they cannot stir themselves up to be active in the means of grace. So low that they cannot pray. So low that they cannot read. Brought low. At other times, they are brought low more directly in connection with their sin, their sin and a sense of sin brings them low. Like the psalmist, in that psalm that we sang, Psalm 130. He was in depths. What were the depths? I was brought low. What brought you there? My sin. My sin I ever see. He knew that. If thou wouldst mark iniquities, Lord, who would stand? But yet with thee forgiveness is, that feared thou mayest be. It was a sense of his sin that brought him low. And that's what brought him into these depths, from which he was crying to the Lord. Who can measure how low the gracious soul feels, who has some degree of genuine love to the Lord, and a genuine love to holiness, who has tasted something that the Lord is gracious, and when therefore the Lord hides his face from them, how sore it is, like David said, that the Lord made his mountain to stand strong by his love. He said, but when that thou, most gracious God, didst hide thy face from me, then quickly was my prosperous state turned into misery. And so is the psalmist in dejection on account of his sin, dejection on account of indwelling sin, dejection on account of failures in serving the Lord, and on account of a sense of the Lord's displeasure with him, so that he was saying, Lord, from the depths to thee I cry. My voice, Lord, do thou hear, and to my supplications voice give an attentive ear. I was brought low, but in due time the Lord will not leave his people ever to be low. He will help me. I was brought low, and he helped me. Again, it will come through the word. It's always through the word. Sometimes a providential deliverance and answer to prayer can give a lifting up. Also, it is true. But generally, it is through the word. This word of thine, my comfort is in mine affliction, and in my straits I am revived. By this thy word alone, when a drop of the grace of God comes into their soul by the word or in prayer. What an enlivening effect it has. They are lifted up in a moment, and that they are helped. They are helped in duty. What a great matter that is, to be helped in spiritual duties. You go to pray perhaps often enough, and it's just all that you have is this: I was brought low. But there are times, or there are not, when you can say, he did me help afford. What a blessing that is, to have times of liberty in prayer, to pour out your heart before the Lord, or to read the word of God with avid attention, which so often you just glance over in a cursory manner, hastening to the end of the chapter, not taking anything on board. But at other times, the word is sweet. You feed upon the word. He has helped you. These things are not little. These things are not trivial. Their help coming from the throne of heaven to a poor, simple one, a poor one here on earth. I was brought low. He did me help afar. Help. In time of grace in time of need, help. Help from the Lord. And that's what we need. I was brought low, and he helped me. And you see, the Lord in this is preserving the simple. It's one of the ways the Lord is keeping his people. By bringing them low, he's bringing down their pride. By bringing them low, he is bringing them to know how dependent they are upon him. He's bringing them to value more and more the blood of Christ. He's bringing them to value more and more the supplies of the Holy Spirit. He's bringing them to see more, them to see more and more that salvation is all of free grace. There are many things that the Lord has when he brings his people low. There are graces that flourish then, which almost cannot flourish in any other environment. Humility, self-loathing,
sides here for their preservation. I was brought low, and that was preserving. And he helped me. The help that he gives, the encouragement through the promises, and through a word in season to the weary. Oh, what help that brings, and how that preserves the soul. Their soul and life, who safe preserves. Their feet from sliding